Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
We have a lady now who has a wealth of books about a subject that's near to my heart. We're going to speak now to Karen Dahlman. Hello, Karen.
Hi, Pete. How are you? And how's your listening audience? Great.
They're well. They're looking forward to hearing your take on Ouija boards, because I think you're the only person, apart from one other, that actually likes Ouija boards.
You got that. I really enjoy using the Ouija board because it's helped me in many facets of my life in terms of using it in as a spiritual tool, a tool to develop yourself personally, to have closure maybe on death, to learn to be in touch with your greater self within. And that's what I use Ouija for. And that's why I'm very positive about it, for those reasons.
Right. Tell us who Karen is.
Well, Karen is somebody who is very curious and adventurer. I've always pushed the boundaries. I've always wanted to know what's out there, what's beyond. When I was very young, I would experience all kinds of interesting phenomenon, which I later learned out was spirits, deceased, auras. And so using the board, I started learning about a lot of these items and things I was seeing. So the board just became a way, another tool that I use. I use many different tools to explore the great beyond and explore our world. So I know myself even that much more in relationship to it.
Why are so many people against Ouija boards?
Well, I think people are against it because, first of all, it's an ominous looking board. It was created many years ago. And I think it has that air about it, that it just looks a little old, a little different. I think the biggest thing that happened was Hollywood capitalized on the fear of the board, and they actually took it and turned it around. So the board was in everybody's parlor rooms, as you probably know, and especially in the United States, you know, in the heydays, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, it was a normal thing. It wasn't anything bad or negative. And then Hollywood had their Exorcist movie. You probably remember that movie. And it just turned it around negatively. But I also do want to say that, you know, if something can't be explained, you know, science will look at it as quackery. And if it can't be explained, you know, you're speaking to spirits. A lot of religions do not like that because they think it's false spirits or I'm doing something demonic. So Hollywood just capitalized on both those things and ran with it. And made lots of money doing it.
Karen, my boss of this radio station, we're a very big radio station, my boss will not allow me to use a Ouija board. And twice I've tried to do it and twice he's come in the program and confiscated it and threatened me with a sack.
Wow, we should ask him what he's so afraid of, because, you know, the board is nothing more than Masonite, the new ones, or cardboard. The new ones are cardboard. Mine's Masonite or wood. I mean, that's all they are. They're nothing. The board has no power in it. So, I mean, I could walk into your studio right now, lay out a paper sack, write on it, and we could do Ouija that way. And your boss wouldn't even know we were doing it because he would just see a paper sack. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but every time we mention we're going to do the Ouija board, we get absolutely inundated with callers so angry you could not believe it, saying you have no right, you must not. I've never, in all the years I've been a broadcaster, it's the only thing that I get incredible negativity from.
Yeah, and you know what, I got to say, I hear that all the time myself, and I'll get some emails along those lines too. You know, I think everybody has their opinion, and people should be skeptic. But to be hateful, I don't quite understand that, because it's just a tool. It's just a tool that I happen to use, and I happen to use it quite well, quite nicely, and it works for me in very benevolent, good ways. And so to be angry about it just means that I think what's happening is I'm making them open their eyes, and it's pushing the buttons to say, oh my God, maybe there's more out there than meets the eye. And maybe, oh my God, maybe my life would have to change. You know, people don't want to change. This work I'm doing forces you to change, whether you're just listening and it's a new idea or you're doing it yourself. It forces you to change. And with change comes evolution. So that scares people too. So I could see why you get everybody being very controversial when you have this subject come up. That's normal. It's
but
normal.
When you have a Ouija board, aren't you opening a door to evil? Aren't you opening something that is really wicked?
You're opening a door to what your intentions are. I truly don't believe in evil. I believe in evil behavior, bad behavior. People do bad things. Personalities that exist with beyond, if they're earthbound spirits, they're stuck in a personality. That could be a negative influence. Are they evil? No, I don't think there's evil inherently within. I think what happens is we start to project this negativity of ourselves. And then all of a sudden you get on the other side of the board that comes through is that negativity that you're projecting out there from yourself. We have to look at our own shadows. We've got to look at ourselves. ourselves within. We got to understand that what we envision within ourselves or what we fear, we're going to attract to us. I mean, that's in life in general. If you're afraid of something, you're going to walk around more with that energy of fear. But if you have a heart opening or heartfelt feeling coming out of you, people are going to be more attracted to you. Same with bringing energies to you through the board. I don't draw negative or evil in the way I approach the board. That makes all the difference.
Have you never had one bad experience with a Ouija board?
I won't say that. And yes, I have. I have had some bad experiences. When I say bad, nothing like I've heard people, some experience people have had. I mean, so I've heard some really horrific, scary stuff. But my bad has been spirits coming in and cussing at me. And I just say, okay, that's not allowed. You're out of here. I put the board away until they go away. Or I've actually had them manifest physically and touch me. And that's a little too much. And that was to get my attention because I wouldn't speak to this one spirit. But I've learned how to work with that energy now more where I open it, I close it. And once I close the portal, they can't come through again.
But you said you put the board away. Surely once you've opened that door, they are out there.
They can be out there. You got to know how to work with the energy. And I say energy because it's an energy you're working with. It really isn't the board at all. You don't need a board to do this work, and you ask any psychic or medium, but you've got to be prepared, and you really need to kind of know how to navigate this space. Not kind of, you do need to know how to navigate this space. You're traversing into another realm of energy, and you don't necessarily know all the rules. I don't necessarily know all the rules. I know in terms of myself, how to keep myself safe and the people in the room that I'm working with the board.
Is it addictive to you?
It can be. Is it addictive to me? No, I'll tell you why. Because I have partners I do it with, and the partners are not always available. And so I have so many other things in my life going on that I don't have time to do it all the time. I will say this, though, given that I do have a session set up for this evening, which is morning time for you guys, I guess, to do the board with, I call it open message circles. So I always set up a time. And then when the time happens, we do it and we put it away, we're done. And it doesn't usually happen again for another week or two. So you can get addicted to it. I have seen that. I've seen people become obsessed with it. And that happens when people start relying on the messages. I don't rely on these messages. I use them to augment my life. They'll say things to me about what I'm working on, what's going on, things I can improve, maybe even events are going to happen. But do I hold my breath to those? Absolutely not. I always go back and look at this information and say, does it make sense to me? It's just because it comes from an unseen force that we think is maybe smarter than us, which they aren't necessarily, doesn't mean it's accurate or right. So therefore, I have this checks and balance with the work I do, so I don't get caught up in the in being obsessed with it. But I've seen this with people quite often, actually.
Is it very important in your life?
It's important in terms of getting the message out, and the message that they have for me to tell everybody is that the world is full of just unlimited possibilities. And once you understand that about that within yourself, you'll find your unlimited possibilities. So there's a message I have, and so that's why I do it. I've been doing this for over 40 years. It's 41 years now, as a matter of fact. And I wrote this book, just came out in October. I've been hiding this from people forever because of all the, just we said the stereotypes about it, the negativity about it. It never has been negative to me, but I feel like there's a message here I'm teaching people, and I know people are going to go, oh, I don't like this. I don't want, who is she? She's demonic. I mean, I get that. It's not that. My message is nothing but a positive message of this is a tool you can use to help yourself. It's not everybody's tool. It's not everybody's path. And I have many other tools I use. And this is just one small piece. If I put my life into a pie and I had to say, how much does this fulfill my or take up of my life? I would say probably 1/16, maybe up to 1/8 at times, like when I'm doing my shows or I'm writing my books, but typically about maybe 1/16. There's so many other things that are important to me in my life.
Tell us about the book.
Well, the book actually takes you through the whole history of my history of Ouija, but I start with the history of Ouija itself so you can learn about where this tool came from and how it was invented and the people behind the scenes and how it got its name. Then I go into my whole history of working the board and talking about from when the age of 8 all the way up to present day. And I'm explaining all the entities and beings and ethereal beings and angels and guides and dead people I've met along the way. I couldn't put them all in the book, but I pulled out some of the best stories that had happened to give you examples of what you can encounter when you use the board. And so the book pulls those stories out. It also tells you in one chapter, my most important chapter, chapter 4, how to use the board appropriately, correctly, safely to have great results. And so that's a really important chapter. And then I go into some of the messages that we received over the years. And I've spoken to many different consciousnesses out there, and I'm going to throw two at you. One is, I spent 4 years just talking to nothing but our higher selves. People that came to my sessions, we just spoke to their higher selves. So you're kind of talking to yourself really, but you're oversoul, your part of you that's divine divinity, that's back in the soul. It's your higher self. And then we also spend a lot of time talking to animals, alive and dead. And so I have a whole section of my book. It's really sweet, about talking to my cats that are very much alive and with the things they tell me.
I'm stunned.
Now that's gonna stun your listeners to think, oh, that's a crazy person. Well, it's not. When you start getting into this, you're gonna go, wow. Like what I said, the message is there's so many unlimited, limitless possibilities within the world and within ourselves. And once we start opening to these possibilities, all your talents and abilities, creativity, start coming forth. It's really crazy how this works. And therefore, you start learning that you can really start shifting energies and communicate with many different kinds of beings.
I just remember that a couple of years ago, I did an interview with a guy who collects Ouija boards and has written books about it. An American guy, and I think he's got 200, 300, something.
Is this my friend Robert Murch by chance?
That's the one.
He has actually about 500 boards, and I think 300 of them are Ouija boards. He and I are buddies as well. We've been on shows together, and we correspond.
That must be a session and a half when you two are on the Ouija board.
We haven't done that yet. Now we haven't done the Ouija board together, but one of these days we probably will.
What do you think the purpose of writing the book was, apart from making money? What's the purpose of writing the book?
I got to tell you, you don't really make a whole lot of money when you write books. You really don't. The purpose of the book, again, is that this has been such a valuable tool for me. Such a valuable and invaluable. I mean, I can't even put the money on it, because I've seen what it's done for myself over the years. I've seen how it's helped people over the years. I've seen how there's been such great closure to deaths. That's usually what people come to me for. Although they come also say, what can I do to make this change in my life? And to start working it out, I'll call it tongue-in-cheek. Here we go, Peter. I'll call it tongue-in-cheek Ouija therapy. And I said that because it's been so therapeutic, so opening, so eye-expanding to me that I have to share that with people. When I started letting people more and more in my life understand what I was doing, they wanted to know what I was doing to make great changes in my life. I've been very successful in business and other endeavors as well. And I know it's a lot of it comes from this inner work that I do. And I say inner work because the Ouija work, the way I teach people to use the Ouija, is all about your own inner work. It really is about finding those parts of yourself that you've always wanted to express, or you didn't even know were inside of you, and to begin to bring those out. I was licensed, registered psychotherapist and art therapist, and master's degrees, and practiced for a decade. And basically everything that I find myself engaged in with my books, so this is my second book, I'm writing my third right now, they're always on a very therapeutic nature. It's always about tools people can use to help themselves, just to propel themselves in life, to move forward in life, because life is not always easy. Life is not easy, I'll say that, to help themselves move through life in a more smoother, more whole fashion. This book had to come. I had to come out to explain that.
Are there any rules in America at all to stop you using a Ouija board?
That's interesting. No, there's no rules about not using them. But I would say on the radio, that's been a very controversial thing, too. I think a lot of people don't do it on the radio or on these TV shows because they may just get a lot of hate mail, maybe, or they might lose watchers, or they may gain more watchers, because nowadays there's it's very popular in the US, and I know it is over there in UK too. All the paranormal hunting shows, investigation shows, are really cool. So maybe it would bring more people to watch. I'm not sure. But no, there's no rules that you can't use it. I would say if you're probably in a certain religion faction, maybe you're told not to use it. That'd be my guess.
It's interesting you're saying about using it. I would say if I said to you now, would you recommend people use a Ouija board? And you said yes. I reckon I would actually get into trouble for that. Would you believe that?
I do. And I'm, but my answer is not that. My answer is no. I don't recommend people to do this. It's not a game at all, although it's packaged as a game. Yeah. No, people ask me all the time, and I don't say you should go do it. I'm just sharing my path. And people can, everybody can get to this level of this path without using a Ouija board. You know, you could just go start studying your dreams, do journaling, start meditating. You don't need this tool to get to these levels I'm talking about. This has just been a tool that's just been so successful for me. And I can use it rather quickly. So that's why I share it with people when they're interested.
I always ask this question to finish off with when I've interviewed somebody over a book. What do you actually want people to think and say when they've put your book down after reading it?
I want them to say, I feel like I just had a cup of coffee with Karen and we just sat down like good friends and had a conversation and we shared information. And she openly talked to me as if I was a friend sitting there to let her know her story.
How can they find out more about you? Because you're interesting.
Oh, thank you very much, Pete. You can find out more about me at my website, which is www.karen, K-A-R-E-N, middle initial A, last name D-A, H-L-M-A-N, KarenADahlman.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I have a lot of UK friends that are Facebook friends with me. I've met through various shows over there. And then I'm on Twitter. I'm on Google Plus. Yeah, just you could look me up on Google or just put me on the internet and you'll go Karen A. Dahlman and you'll find me. I'm not hard to find. Karen, I can't hide anymore.
What's the name of the book?
The book is called The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication.
Karen, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Pete. I really appreciate it.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show, Late Night City, with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.